Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign guy along with the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because he has a really good recipe for making avocado toast. Coach Mike Jones. We're on the verge being joined today by former Ring of Honor star Jay Diesel. He will be calling in just a couple of minutes, he informs me. But we are looking forward to that. I guess while we are awaiting him, I have a couple quick show notes. If you're looking for some pro wrestling today, right now as we speak, if you're near Jeffersonville, Indiana, head to the arena. Grindhouse Wrestling is underway. Also later today in Portland, Oregon, the big BCW show at the Colony on Richmond Avenue today. So get out there and support that. That is also available via pay-per-view. I will not be there because I will be attending the memorial for Sonny O'Mara, but definitely support Blue Collar if you're near the Portland area. Coach, sounds like some good day for some pro wrestling, and we'll say goodbye to Sonny O'Mara.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to have the good memories with all the people, even though it's going to be sad. He'll truly be missed, and he was a great asset to the Northwest, and he has a nice little legacy.
Absolutely, he does, and here on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we're definitely proud. We were his first interview. It wasn't a traditional interview, but we definitely had Sonny on his very first time anyone asked him to be on a talk show. It took me 2 years to convince him I wasn't ribbing him.
Yeah, not to mention that he was on the sign of the times, and that was a beautiful deal.
Absolutely. That came after he realized I wasn't ribbing that I wanted him on a talk show, and he was more open to doing things like that. But I look forward to hearing some Sonny O'Mara stories later this afternoon.
Definitely. And another good thing that happened yesterday, Stephen Bonner went to California to announce a MMA fight. So it's nice to see he's back up and running and back doing things he loves. And can't wait to have him on February 6th.
Absolutely. February going to be huge here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And I'm looking forward to seeing Stephen Bonner not only doing things, but getting healthier. He was definitely in a bad way. It's nice to know he is regaining some health and is able to get out and about and slowly make his way back.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Well, Coach, I hope you aren't in any legal trouble, but if you are, this coming Friday on Sign Guys Wrestling Show, we will have Stephen Pinoux, the consigliere of Jim Cornette. He handles a lot of legal cases for sports entertainers. So if you need to know, you can get prepared on Friday. Maybe you'll just want to hire Stephen Pinoux.
No, I think I've got one of the best lawyers in the world, Joe Loran. He's here in Tacoma. Yeah, so I'm really happy with him.
All right. Well, at least it's not Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. But our guest has joined us, ladies and gentlemen, so let's bring him on right away. We have been very excited to have him. Jay Diesel, welcome to Turnbuckle Turmoil. Thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, since it's your first time on our show, I'm going to lead you off with a traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Okay. To be honest, it was something I never really aspired to doing at first. How do I put this? It was more of a secondary source of income. And I went to a smaller show when I was probably in my early 30s. I want to say about 30 or 31. And I had just got done doing a bodybuilding show. And I seen guys, and they weren't no longer like 7 foot tall. So I was like, I was doing a lot of bouncing and bartending and things like that on the side. And I was asking them around. I was like, how much do you guys make a night doing this type of stuff, this type of athletic, like, you know, show? And most of them were telling me, like, oh, 200, 500. And then I ran into, like, a few guys like Sanjay Dutt and people like that that were making, like, significant amount more than that. And I even met some mid-card guys that were on their way up. At that time, Drew Gulak was, like, on his way up. And people like the Sammy Callahans of the world, they weren't in WWE, so they weren't names. But at that time, they were this is going back to, like, 2010, 2011. They weren't names yet. They were, but the guys on the indies making money. And I was like, I come from a boxing background. My physique's half decent. I like to give it a try. And from there, that was what led me into, you know, going into that type of a venue to make extra money. And then it became a career for at least a short period of time.
Obviously, you got into wrestling a little bit later than a lot of people traditionally do. Were you a fan of pro wrestling when you started training, or were you more of a casual observer of it? How was your fandom coming into things?
So my fandom coming into professional wrestling was, here's how my fandom went. When I was young, my fandom was, I want to say 6, 7, 8 years old. I'm being honest. I'm one of these guys that I'm not going to like sugarcoat anything. I'm not going to tell you that I was like a fanatic. And the biggest thing in my household was boxing when I was a kid. My grandfather was a professional fighter. My dad and everybody had won the Golden Gloves. And my mom's dad was a trainer of guys that fought like Muhammad Ali, like Jerry Quarry and Jerry Cooney. So he helped train them. And I was a boxer till I was 24 years old, amateur, but like a lot of fights, like over 100. It was like 134. And but through my life, I always like would like watch wrestling and just, like, I liked it. I thought it was something neat. I thought it was something very entertaining. Obviously, when I was younger, 6, 7, 8, I idolized those guys, the Hulk Hogan's, the Ultimate Warriors, the Rick Rudes. For some reason, I always used to like Rick Rude and Paul Orndorff, even though they were, like, bad guys. So my fandom then went into my early 20s when I was just watching it for, like fun. Like I hate to put it this way because some guys might not like me saying this, but I watched it like I watched Seinfeld. Like, I would tune into it for a while, and it would be super entertaining, Dwayne Johnson. And I really connected for some reason. One of my buddies gave me, I don't know why he gave it to me, was a Batista documentary. And I liked Dave. And I liked the whole persona of, like, we were bouncers, they were bartenders. Like, if you look at Hawk and Animal and a lot of those guys, they're all like security at some point, or bar backs or whatever, trying to make extra money. And then this usually comes, like, our direction. So that was a fandom. My biggest level of fandom, though, actually started when I seen in Ring of Honor. I went to a Ring of Honor show. And I seen Jay Lethal take on Davey Richards. And to be honest with you, Davey Richards made me a fan of professional wrestling. Like legit, like current day professional wrestling. The reason for that was Davey Richards.
Not a bad choice to get you to love pro wrestling. When you were watching Davey Richards versus Jay Lethal, that, like you said, was for Ring of Honor. When you got to Ring of Honor, was that a goal based on that match? Was Ring of Honor sort of where you wanted to eventually get when you got into wrestling?
Okay, so how this worked out was, if I tell people that my first 2 to 3 friends that were in professional wrestling, they would say it's a very unfair advantage. So my very, very first friend in professional wrestling was Adam Cole. And then my next friend who we just hated it right off, we just became super duper, I'm still great friends with the guy, is Sammy Callahan. And At that time, like I said, I have a decent physique right now, but I was sporting a major, major physique. And those guys at that time thought that that's what Vince was looking for. So it was a mutual friendship. Hey, you're going to help me with wrestling. I'll help you guys get more physically fit. Now, don't get me wrong. They were both physically fit guys. They were both great wrestlers. I needed more of their help than they needed of mine. But that was my first two guys. And then the third person was a young guy. His name was Evan Singleton. He's like one of the world's strongest men right now. He was Adam Mercer in WWE. But I don't know if he's really a friend anymore. He got a big head on him, and I don't know what happened to him. But I hope he's coming back to me because he was a really good dude. He's a really nice guy, and he's a very talented human being. And then my last one who was a young guy named Ken Steinbull or Ken Phoenix. He's a very successful real estate agent now, but he was in Ring of Honor for a while. And me and him were like role guys. We would go everywhere. So that was my buffer to get into Ring of Honor was Adam Cole. I can explain. That's more like less my story, how I started wrestling. So I'll wait to answer that question for you. But that's kind of like how I veered towards Ring of Honor was because of Adam Cole.
A lot of people may take for granted the role of the referee in professional wrestling, that they can often help out a match without the fans really picking up. That's what they're doing. Obviously, for younger wrestlers, it helps having a referee that knows what they're doing in there. You work with a lot of different refs in your career. Who would you say are some of the better ones out there that really helped you?
Paul Turner, who I think he currently is working right now for AEW. And then you have obviously Todd Sinclair. Todd's a phenomenal referee. He's just like he's very cued in to what the match is supposed to be. He is observant of the outside. I'm not trying to break kayfabe or nothing, but when we're explaining the matches to one another and stuff like that, he is very observant on the major roles in that match, time cues, things of that nature. And he really keeps a lot of guys on point. And he usually can know if something is not where it was supposed to be. And he's watching us either fix it or he's going to try to help us fix it. So, yeah, but Paul's very much that way, too. Paul's probably one of the most underrated referees in the world. He really was. He's just a very vocal guy in there, and once again cares. Like he's trying to make sure that we're getting to where we need to get to, and he's like like I said, like if there's a big crescendo in the match, he's waiting for it, and he definitely knows. But like those two people too, they really know their placement. Like they know how to stay out of the. That's a real art to stay out of the way, but still be actually refereeing the match.
That is very true for sure. I was someone that made their living traveling for pro wrestling. If there were young wrestlers just starting out today that wanted trips, like wanted some tips from you to incorporate as far as travel goes and the do's and the don'ts and the what to takes and what not to takes, what would be some of the tips you would give a young wrestler?
Tips to make a young wrestler. Okay. In current day's status of like jobs, try to get a good 4-day-a-week job, 5-day-a-week job, have a steady income, at the same time, try to get a job. Like if they can work with you to have your weekends off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you can get your 40 hours in, have medical work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10-hour days, train. Don't plan on sleeping on those days that much. Like Dwayne Johnson would say, most people that are successful would say, don't sleep a lot. Don't sleep your life away. Sleep 4 to 6 hours. Take melatonin, ZMA. That's like first off the bat. Secondly, find somebody who you can become common friends with. Like I said, my friend Ken Steinbull became like my little brother. He is my little brother. He had just came back from Lance Storm's camp, and I was killing the scene in my local little area, just making money, like real money. Like when I say real money, like $600-$800 a match. I was like, we need to travel. I said, we have to get trained better because we were just getting trained by a little local company. And I was like, we need to go to CZW. We need to go to the Monster Factory. We need to go to, like, places like the Samoans. And we were, like, going everywhere trying to get into the Ring of Honor. That was the whole key, was to get into that school. Because once we got to that training, that's where we were going to go and, like, really advance. So we were running around to those other schools and seeing how many free classes we can get in or how many we can strike up a deal to get classes in. And, you know, like I said, it didn't hurt having all the right connections. Like Rhett Titus and all those guys were friends pretty quickly. If you have an asset, though, too, you're really good at something, graphic design, if you're good at, you know, training people, if you have a great physique, if you know how to get that physique, you can transfer that to other people. It's a trade. It's a trade. Friendships are trades.
Well, at this point, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is with us, and he has questions to ask as well, so I'm going to pass things over to Coach.
Hey, Jay, thanks for coming on. Yeah, I'm really impressed with your what you've done so far.
Thank you so much. Like, I appreciate you guys having me on. I might have a little news towards the end of your show, so, or you might ask me one of the questions that I'll strike that up. So I'm like, I look forward to this, to the rest of this conversation. You know, you guys are really awesome. You have a great product.
Thank you. And then, so what's some of your most memorable matches?
Obviously, Lethal. Lethal has always been one of my biggest matches. He was my first upstart in professional wrestling. It was amazing. I probably wouldn't be anywhere without him. Obviously, wrestling my coach, Delirious. Another amazing match. I actually wrestled him on the Briscoes show. And while I'm on the topic of the Briscoes, that was probably, you know, Jamin and Mark are phenomenal in the ring. And I got to wrestle them on numerous occasions. So it was really a blessing to have them. Somebody that I had like really great chemistry. Those are two people I had phenomenal chemistry with in the ring. And even though I wasn't on the upside of a lot of those matches, it was just like the physicality and the momentum. And for Jay Briscoe is a very humble person. He'll give you a lot because he knows he's going to make himself shine anyhow. Hopefully my answers are, I'll try not to be too long-winded. I just want to give people, you know, some proper feedback. And Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are another phenomenal set of guys to wrestle. So I'm not really, really trying to leave anybody out on that one. But the last set of guys was I have a really, really good chemistry with Kenny King. So those were some of my guys that were really one of my biggest people that ever got the opportunity to wrestle was AJ Styles. So that was like a dream match. And it was the Bucks and AJ versus Lethal, me, and Dijak.
Nice. That's impressive. And yeah, we know a lot of these questions are hard to answer because there's more than one answer to them, and we know that you have to cut the show short today, so we're trying to make
I'm
sure
sorry
that
about
we're
that,
thorough.
I'll make up for it.
Oh, it's no problem. We appreciate having you. But anyways, who's some of the most toughest wrestlers you faced?
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Who's some of
My
the most toughest wrestlers, the toughest wrestlers you faced?
Okay, so once again, we're gonna go back to the Briscoes. Briscoes are very physical. They're super physical, but they're great. They're great at being super physical, and you know you can be physical back with them. Michael Elgin was super, super physical. Ray Rowe, Ray's a very physical dude too himself. So if I look at that, and then like I said, some of the people that I just recently named was also in this category, which would be Bobby and Kyle. You know, even moving around with Davey, just in like, if you want to call it sparring, you know, because like a lot of times when we would start, I went down to St. Louis to train with Davey for a short period of time. And a lot of our matches, we would actually spar. And then we'd break into match. And then he's like halfway through, he would be like, all right, let's switch. We'd switch back to sparring. And then like there would be sessions where you'd go back and forth and back and forth between sparring. Like I'm talking like legitimate shoot sparring. Like we might not be going full out, but we would spar. And then we'd shoot into a match and we'd try to fit those type of things in, which I actually believe that that's like if there was ever a person that innovated professional wrestling, like Davey's probably that guy where he's like, hey, we can spar a little, do some real stuff, and then switch into that and then come back into some sparring.
Nice. Okay. And then, so what about some of your most hated opponents?
Hated opponents. Oof. This is the, because the sad part is I love him, but I'll give him a hated opponent, Will Ferrara. Will. He always was able to get that one up on me, where we were in the business at the time. And, it was like, damn, he had that step ahead of me where I felt like I was like, I should be that one step ahead of him. But he used to put, like, he would eat, sleep. And, like, where I, like I told you, I was working other jobs and stuff, he would just be eating and sleeping wrestling. And I was trying to eat and sleep wrestling, but I couldn't eat and sleep it the way he did. So hats off to him. He had a great career, great run. Cheeseburger would be another one. But like I said, when you say hated, it's not like a real super hate, but it's like a damn, I wish I was that step ahead.
All right. Yeah, I understand that. And I'm sure Sign Guy would be happy and is wondering what's your favorite coffee drink?
What's my favorite coffee drink? I would try to say that it just passed that peppermint mocha from Starbucks. I would probably have to go with that one.
Nice. And then you mentioned a lot of schools. What's some of your favorite schools that you've been to and that you'd like to let people know about?
Top notch would have to be, like I told you, and previously was like the Monster Factory, but obviously ROH. I don't know what's going on with that right now, where they were in Baltimore, and I don't know if their whole school is on freeze right now because the company is kind of like just on that freeze type of aspect. But the place that I would tell people to train, they're both pretty much like Philly and New Jersey, would be the first one would be the Monster Factory, or the first one would be Cheeseburger School, which I believe he called it the International School of Wrestling. Cheeseburger School is the old Ring of Honor school. It's the dojo. And it's like home. It's like I just remember it has a particular smell. Anybody that's ever wrestled at it and done camps at it or did tryouts, it has its own ambiance. So as far as companies to get the exposure that you're going to need and to get properly trained, would be the, like in the East Coast, would be those two, the Ring of Honor School, which, like I said, is Cheeseburger School now, the International School, and the Monster Factory.
All right, nice. What do you got coming up?
I have some stuff that I will actually be returning to the ring this year. I don't know if I have any super brands, or I, like, when I say that, the super brands that I'm going to be wrestling for, I'm not allowed to mention. So I wish I can release that part, like the super brands. Some of the smaller local promotions, there is one in Texas that I'm looking at right now. But let's just put it this way. If I was to wind up back around somebody like Adam Cole, it might not be, you know, it won't be too long before I might see him again. Let's just put it that way.
All right, nice. And then who's some of your most favorite wrestlers right now?
Right now, currently favorite wrestlers. and I, once again, like I said, I love the realness, and I love his new look, and I love everything about, like, the Brock. Brock is just ridiculous. He can reinvent himself 700 times, and he just knows. I understand that he's taken a little bit of spotlight away from certain guys, because I would have loved to have seen Big E have a little bit more of some time in the ring. And but when I look at the repertoire, like when you look at Brock's like moveset and how smooth and how crisp it is, and Big E's like sharp, but Brock still steps ahead of him. Like I said, Lethal is going to be, and if I be honest, Jonathan Gresham's like, Gresham's ridiculous. He's like, if you're talking about who's like one of the best wrestlers in the world, Lethal and Gresham. And the Briscoes, they have a lockdown in the tag team. I don't know why they need to be a world champion in a super-duper big organization. Like, AEW needs to sign them. AEW needs to sign them. They're too big of a name to not get signed to at least AEW before they retire. Or, you know, hopefully they never retire, but They're phenomenal. They're the most underrated tag team in the history of wrestling, I would say.
Nice. Okay, well, we want to thank you for coming on, and we've got plenty of time for you to plug and promote anything you like. Want to wish you continued success, and thank you for everything you've done for wrestling.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully some of my stuff that I threw out there will give guys like an idea of like how you know where things work, and hopefully I didn't expose stuff too much, but I just try to be as real as I possibly can. I want people to, you know, get the proper leg up in this stuff, and I, like I said, it was just really great being on, and hopefully you guys will see me in the future. I think it's a definite possibility between June and August there's going to be a lot of seeing me, so.
Well, definitely we look forward to that. I will keep a very close eye on things that are near to Adam Cole. Anything else you want to plug or promote or say as we wrap up with you? I know your time is short today.
Yeah, so it won't just be there. It'll probably be at some place I was already at. And if I do definitely say that there is one promotion that I would like to wrestle for in the next, like a more local, is the Monster Factory again. Danny Cage runs a phenomenal show. It's so upscale and so top rate, and you know, that's where QT is from, Marshall, and QT is phenomenal. I would love to actually wrestle him there. That would be just a blast for me. So,
and then how do people get a hold of you?
I'm sorry, how do we get a hold of me? They can either try to message me on Facebook, or they can message me on Instagram. I'm pretty sure even my phone number is available on the Facebook. So if they need to text me and they want to call me promoters, I'm more than willing to work. I know that I will be trying to return into the ring by the end of May, beginning of June.
All right. Well, Jay Diesel, thank you again. I know you had a brief time frame for today's interview, but I definitely appreciate you taking that time to be with us. We really, really appreciate you. Hopefully we'll have you back and we'll talk again on a future episode. But best of luck, and I will keep my eyes peeled for your return.
Thank you so much, guys. You have a great day, and God bless.
You too.
You too.
All right. Well, Coach, I know you probably have some things to plug and promote as we wind things down and we head over to the memorial for Sonny O'Mara.
Yes, definitely. We got some big people coming up, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this month. The Real School Army's being represented properly. We've got UFC Hall of Famer and Real School Army's own Stephen Bonner on the 6th. Then we got Short Sleeve Samson on the 20th. And then on the 27th, we got the debut of Moondog Ace coming. And don't forget also March 12th in Tampa, Florida at the fairgrounds, Real School Army's own J.D. Burns and his wife will be making her debut in bare knuckle boxing down there. But J.D. Burns will be going for the 185 title down there. And it's looking really good. We're going to be having another champ in the family, I'm confident.
Coach, can you confirm if J.D. Burns has a cousin named Matt?
No, I cannot confirm that. And then also, you can also reach me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at Coach Mike Jones. And then I'm also at the NGW Green Room and the Real School Army.
All right.
And I'm sure he's not
anything
related
else,
to
Coach?
Matt Burns. I'm sure he's not related to Matt
Burns
either.
All right. Well, fans, the rest of next month, if you're wondering our schedule, like we said earlier, this coming up Friday, Stephen P. New from the new law offices, consigliere of Jim Cornette, and he is one of the proud sponsors of All-Star Wrestling in West Virginia. Stephen Bonner on the 6th. The 11th, we have Eric Smalls. 13th, we are making up Military Day. We have representatives from all the branches, hopefully including the Coast Guard, but definitely the four main branches all represented. 18th, we have Oliver Sawyer out of the great wrestling-rich state of North Carolina. 20th, Short Sleeve Sampson of the Real School Army and also of the Micro Midget. And also the 25th, we have Sweet Daddy coming to the show. And the 27th, we wrap up with Moondog Ace. We got some big things coming in March. We're firming up some dates with some people, but it should be a great March. Don't forget, Stompin' Steve really wants people to subscribe to my YouTubes. So the Sign Guy 77, go there, hit the subscribe button, because I don't know if we can stop Stompin' Steve from throwing a rock through the window of Oak and Hamlin if he gets really angry. I don't have enough subscribers. Also, you can tweet at Stompin' Steve, let him know you want Stompin' Steve's own YouTube channel to become a thing where you can discuss all manner of things. That is something you can definitely tweet at him and let him know. You can tweet at me at SignGuyHPW. Find me on the Book of Faces. Look up SignGuy. You'll find the fan page there. Chicken Bob also on all the social medias. He loves his gram. Chicken Bob very passionate about his gram. And he's got the Twitter. And he's got the Facebook. So all your social medias, you can find Chicken Bob. But, what was that, Coach?
Nothing. I do got one more thing, but keep going. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. And also, you can look up Turnbuckle Turmoil on the Book of Faces. You can find it on the Twitter. Turnbuckle_T is where to go to find that. And also on the YouTubes. Dimitri does a fantastic job putting up videos on the YouTubes. So go and subscribe to his channel as well. Or maybe Ken Hamlin will have two rocks thrown at his window from Stompin' Steve.
Yeah, and don't forget, one of the greatest segments in wrestling out there that has up to 516 episodes so far, the Sign of the Times featuring you, brother.
That is true. I'm in almost all of them, just about every episode, and Chicken Bob's been in a metric crap ton of them.
And how do they get a hold of you, brother?
Well, like I said, they can find me on the Book of Faces. They can go to the Twitters, at SignGuyHBW, the YouTubes, the Gram they can if they don't mind waiting a long time for a reply because I'm not on there as much. But Chicken Bob loves his Gram. You can contact Chicken Bob all day long, and he'll probably respond to you. But you have to be like really dedicated when you get Chicken Bob's reply, Coach, because his handwriting is like chicken scratches.
Bawk, bawk, bawk. And then are you still on the farm site?
I believe so. So, yeah.
What's that address again? It's been a while now.
I'd have to look that up, Coach. I've been hitting the head a lot.
Okay, yeah. And I remember you used to plug that all the time, but that was before Instagram, though.
Yeah, the Form Spring. It's been years. I don't even know if it's still there, but I think it might be, and if so, it's probably still there, technically speaking.
And then that's just like I've heard rumors that MySpace is still out there.
It still is. I don't think anyone actually actively uses it, but sometimes people look at it and say, wow, that's still there. You know, Jason Ayers got booked in Japan off of MySpace. That's a real thing that actually happened.
Yeah, I loved MySpace. I'm going to have to go try to get back into there. I had a nice MySpace. I used to love that, that you could have your music playlist and stuff. I really enjoyed that.
Did you have some Sonny and Cher on there?
I probably did, yes.
There we go.
They were amazing.
All right, well, Coach, I think we should head down to the Memorial for Sonny. It's going to be good to see a lot of the boys, even though the circumstances are not the most idyllic to see them, but it'll still be good to see them. And we will be back with you next week.
Yep. Thank you, brother. My son.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Everybody say Coach Mike Jones. Now scream!